Ladies and gentlemen, it is a Wednesday afternoon, 12 o'clock, so it's time for all of us to, I don't know, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yes, great turnout. I'm really excited about this. I wish we could have this many people on a regular Wednesday, but you know, people have lives, but everybody made time to come and be a part of this, and Hines and I and Larry just really, really excited that everyone's here. As we always do, we must open with a prayer. Oh, there he is. I was looking. Your seat was empty. I got worried. So we have a senior vice president in charge of prayer. Alan Metcalf is going to come up and pray for his blessing on this.
I tell you what. It's good to see all of you here. Praise God that you're here. Amen. I tell you what, I love the Lord. And if you don't know me, that's okay, as long as you know my Jesus. And I'm not ashamed to stand up here and say, I love my Jesus. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. I was going through the Bible, and I felt like the Lord gave me some scripture for this evening. Psalms 33:9 says, God spoke it, and it was confirmed. He spoke, he commanded, and it stood fast. John 15:16 said, Jesus is talking. These are the words in red. And Jesus says, you have not chosen me. I have chosen you and ordained that you have much fruit, and your fruit remains steadfast, so that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he will do it. Philippians 2:13, Paul says, God is at work in you to make you want to obey him and do what he wants you to do. Now, let me tell you how I interpreted that. God ordained this man right here. And he ordained Larry. And he ordained Don. And Mike McCoy over there in the back corner. He ordained them. Every one of us in this meeting are ordained. And I want you to understand that. God spoke it in Psalms. He fulfilled it in John. And he confirmed it in Philippians. That excites me. I'm telling you. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this night. We thank you for Larry and Hines. I thank you and praise your name for every soul in this room. I pray, God, the Holy Spirit fall afresh in here and that each person get a fresh anointing. And I ask you for it. Thank you for this night, Lord. I pray the name of Jesus penetrate this room, penetrate the dining area, the management, and everybody. And we ask you for it in the precious, holy name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Alan. Now you know why Alan is vice president of prayer and also leading the cheers. Senior vice president of prayer, yeah. Thank you, Alan. My name is Hines Wagoner, and Larry Schrader and I started this luncheon 40 years ago at Uncle Albert's Country Buffet. And, pardon? Someone say, what? Oh. Oh, come on up here and sit here right in front of the PA. I'm serious. Yeah, come on. There's a seat up here. Come on. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Mike, would you... Yeah, that's good. Yeah, when I'm up here, good word. Maybe I'll turn that down a little more. But anyway, if it hadn't been for Larry and Jeff, this luncheon wouldn't have gone a year. And it was Larry's partnership in the meeting, and I'll share a brief testimony. But I was born in Germany. My parents came over when I was 4 years old. We were sponsored by a Mennonite lady in Goshen, Indiana. Who's ever heard of Goshen, Indiana? Okay, we have a few. And she sponsored us, and we were able to, my parents were able to get a job with some Amish people. And how many of you ever ridden in an Amish buggy? Okay, I have, yeah, okay. And grew up there, was one of, I think, the first person in my family to go to college, got a degree in engineering, and married the girl of my dreams, and also part of my scholarship at Indiana Tech, Nan. But, yeah, we, anyway, it's a beautiful story how we met, and went to work at GE in Utica, New York, and from there at Scientific Atlanta here. That's how we got down here. And I was a workaholic and alcoholic and hardworking German engineer. And my life was kind of unraveled. And thanks to Nan's faithfulness to her church, she grew up Catholic and went to church every Sunday. And for those of you who think that's religious, it sure worked for me, because being in that church every Sunday, hearing the gospel, the word preached, and also meeting a guy named Clarence Burkholder, who was also a Mennonite guy, and he saw that I needed something more in my life, so he invited me to a Bible study, which were also the instructions in the Catholic faith, called the RCIA. And I reluctantly went with him. When I walked into the room where that meeting was held, I sensed the presence of Jesus. How many of you ever sensed the presence of Jesus? And I almost started to cry. And I wasn't a religious guy. I didn't know about this emotional stuff, but it touched my heart. And through that, I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Wrestled still a little bit with alcohol. My friend Clarence invited me to a Full Gospel Businessman's Breakfast, where I went reluctantly with him. How many of you have gone reluctantly with your friends and it's been good, right? Okay. And I was so touched by the guy's testimony. It seemed similar to mine. He actually lived in Indiana, too. So I went up front for prayer afterwards, and a couple guys, like, you know, regular businessmen, asked me what I wanted. I said, I just want a closer walk with Jesus. And so they prayed for me, and they began to pray in tongues. And those of you who've not heard tongues, you're missing something. You need to go somewhere where tongues are spoken. But and it felt like their hands were going right through my forehead. And after a long time, I opened my eyes. I was flat on the back, on my back. My friend Clarence came up to me and said, "Heinz, are you okay?" I said, "I feel great." And as I picked myself off the floor, the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, "You'll never want to drink again," March 3rd, 1984. Now, when I've shared that with some men, they say they don't want that prayer answered. But I needed to have that prayer answered. So that began a new passion for Jesus in my life, and began to attend a luncheon in Roswell. Wes Walker, owner of Walker's Flower Shop, had a weekly luncheon. We worked in Norcross, and so I asked Linwood Maddox, the head of the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship, if we could start a luncheon in Norcross, and that's how we started it in 1985, Uncle Albert's Country Buffet. And like I say, thanks to Larry for 37 years and Jeff for 3 years, and all of you all that have been going to the meeting, our vice president of prayer, and many of you have attended the luncheons for many meetings. There have been close to, I think, 1,300-1,400 men that have shared there. They're all businessmen who profess Christ, who are not in full-time ministry and currently employed. The testimonies, I always recommend a general background, how you came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, and then how Jesus has impacted your life since then. And again, we emphasize the no teaching, preaching, or selling, unless you need satellite converters for... Right, Norm? And we have our vice president of sales over here. He can get you all the converters you need. So, let's see, where was I? I was looking at the... doesn't. And selling, yes, preaching, teaching, and selling, yeah. So, you can get the testimonies of the luncheon by going to nfl-luncheon.com/the-year, and it goes back to 2008, so there are hundreds and hundreds of testimonies, by businessmen that you can download or listen to online. And I don't put that as a link because they're you know, people share very personally, and I just want people to be specifically interested in a testimony to go find it instead of just having be out there for anybody to listen to that might use that information in a negative way. So this is the 40th anniversary, and again, my thanks to Nan, first of all, for her diligence and for her commitment to her faith that connected me with Clarence and got me to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And then also to Larry and Jeff for their partnership in this luncheon. So with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Jeff. How about them knots, Meyer? Right? Tell the folks what knots are. Yeah.
Knots are garlic rolls, right, guys? Yeah. We know about that. My brother Hines. Thank you. Larry, thank you for everything you've blessed me with. Speaking about Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving season is right around the corner. And it's a great time for us to be thankful. We should be thankful all year. Thanksgiving season, for me, kicks off the Christmas season, and that goes on until New Year's. It's a wonderful time of year, and if we could all have that joy and stuff within us 12 months out of the year, it would be glorious. I am so thankful. My God has blessed me and my family so abundantly. with everybody here, not everybody, but people that I've actually developed relationships, some I know, but we haven't kind of met away from here, other people I know really, really, really well. I'm just really, really thankful, and God has blessed me. And I want to say to Hines and to Larry that you have blessed me. Philip, I've told you this. You have truly blessed me. And although we don't meet away from work and as regular as I would like, you've really, really blessed me, and I'm thankful for that. The Rogers family, the Maddox family, Will and Taylor, you don't know how much you've blessed me. And if I have in some tiny little way played a part in blessing you, then I'm thankful for that too. So I'm really humbled, and I want to just focus on the thankfulness of this whole season. Two things before I forget. This is going to be an open mic. We have the room for as long as we need it. You don't need to stay till me and Hines and Larry leave. But it's going to be an open mic. If something is on your heart, I know Larry's going to speak and Hines is going to speak again. If something's on your heart and you want to share, this is all about our testimonies, our walk with Jesus, the impact that Jesus has had on our lives. So there will be an opportunity for anybody who cares to speak for 2, 3, 5 minutes and share what God has done in your life. I also want to mention, which most of you know, but you may not, we meet on Zoom every Wednesday. And although it's not the same as meeting here in person, sharing a meal and getting hugs from Don and everything, the Zoom meetings are amazing. And I tell you, especially over the last 4 or 5 weeks, Hines, I think you'd agree with me, the dialogue that we have had, you can do it sitting in your car during your lunch break. You know, if you're interested in joining us for 30 minutes or 45 minutes, we normally meet for about 50 minutes, let Hines know or let me know, and we'll send you a link for it. And like I said, you sit in your car, eat your lunch, and join us for a Zoom meeting. It's just like this, although it's I guess, virtual, if that's what you want to call it. But we'd love to have some people join us for that. Some scripture that Larry has spoke about many times, and I do too, it really speaks to me, is Philippians 4:8. And this is not a Bible study group, but we're going to share some scripture today. And thank you, Alan, for getting us started. Philippians 4:8, among other things, it says, "Let us focus on the things that are wholesome and good and pure and worthy of praise." Those are the things that we take in. And those are the things, what we take in winds up is what comes out, too. You know, you take in smut, you take in garbage, it's going to translate into that comes out of you. Let us all focus on the things that are good and wholesome and pure. And NFL and church and our families and those things are certainly along those lines. But NFL, for me, has been food to nurture my faith and to nurture my walk. And that's really, really important. This has been a huge deal for me. It reminded me when you were talking about Clarence Hines that he invited you, and what'd you call it? He was obnoxiously kind. Not along that same thing, but Hines and Nan would come in starting, I guess, about 17, 18 years ago when I first met him. He'd invite me to the NFL, and it sounded great. It sounds like something I'd really like to do, a fellowship luncheon, and I just put it off for a year. And the guy kept on bugging me, which is not true. He didn't. No, that's right. I know you did. But I always wanted to come, and finally I just made time to go ahead and come, and that was 15 years ago, and I've been pretty regular ever since. So, you know, along those same lines, let's just love on people. Focus on the good, the wholesome, the pure. I want to take all those things in, and I need this, along with my quiet time, excuse me, that I seek to have every morning. The time I spent with friends and even just talking on the phone and stuff, it's so invaluable to me. We need to have these relationships and this dialogue. We are to fill our minds. This is what the Word says. We are to fill our minds with His Word. That's God's Word. We are to speak to Him daily through prayer. And we are to continue to enjoy the fellowship and to be God's hands and feet. And why that is so important. And Alan, I believe, was talking about, ordained. You know, Mike, I think you have an amazing ministry and opportunity to affect thousands of lives. And I may only have an opportunity to affect 20 people, or whether it's 1,000 or 20 or 1. God does ordain us and gives each and every one of us an opportunity. Will, I think your role as, in the very near future, to be a dad, congratulations, but to your role that Marco plays, that you play in Marco's life. And we all have, you know, I think Mark played a good role in your life. He was there for your graduation. He shared his testimony. As a grandfather and a father, Don, we all have roles to go ahead and play. God does give us opportunities to be His hands and feet and to make a difference in people's lives. And Mike, I think that God wasn't done with you over the last year or so because you're still here. Let's not take these opportunities and not run with them. God opens doors. Somebody told me many years ago, and I don't think it's scripture, but it's good enough that it should be, we have to flourish wherever God plants us. Yes, whatever door God opens, the workplace, family, friends, neighbor. It's happened before that I'm talking to my neighbor over my chain link fence in the backyard, and a door opens, and I have a chance to share my faith with them and stuff. We need to take advantage of all those opportunities. I accepted Christ about 23 years ago, and so my destiny was set. My name was written in the book of life. I made a profession of faith. I asked Jesus to come into my life. But I've said also many times, so my destination was set, but the journey was just beginning. And the journey that we have, the lives that we have an opportunity to go and be God's hands and feet, that's as important as our salvation. And people here have played a very significant role in my life, and my journey includes people here, and that means a great deal. But we've made our profession of faith. We've accepted Christ. Sam, I think about your being there for your brother's baptism, and then a year later, your brother is being a part in the pool baptizing you. That's part. Yes! Amen! That's part of Adam's journey, and now it's part of Sam's journey. And Sam, you've been through some tough times, but you've been through some really glorious times too. God can take any situation and use it for good. And He is equipping you and equipping each and every one of us for the job that He has ahead of us. I could just go on and on and on, but I promise I won't, about how God has truly blessed me and the role that God has for me. He sent me to places that I never thought I'd be equipped and never be willing to go ahead and go. You guys know I've done some overseas work. I think about Taylor's taking a team to Operation Christmas Child. That is being God's hands and feet. And you guys lead a Bible study, and that's being God's hands and feet. And Larry and Hines leading up this for 40 years, that's being God's hands and feet. It's glorious. So we just need to put our faith into action, do what James says, and faith without good works is a dead faith, and I won't allow that to happen to me. But my personal journey is I have ups and downs. I think we all do. I'm on a mountaintop. I'm flying high. I'm on a Trace Dias weekend. I'm pumped. And then a week later, a month later goes by, and I'm just kind of low on fuel. I need this. I need this fellowship, and I need you guys to hold me and me to hold you guys accountable and make sure that we're really strong and steady in our walk. It's that important. Okay, I do have more to share, but I'm not going to. I'm going to turn this over to Larry, who has been a huge part of this for 40 years, 37, 38 years. Larry Schrader, come on up, please.
What a blessing, Jeff, as I recognize your growth from when you first started coming. We talked to Terrence a while ago about you meeting Caleb and boasting about the NFL and Larry Schrader leading that. And Caleb, my son, there at Chick-fil-A, he was running the store, and he says, "Wait a minute, that's my dad." Went back in the kitchen and called me. He said, "You know Jeff Meyer?" I said, "Absolutely." We have to recognize the importance of everybody in our lives. I look at Mike back there, and I look at Terrence sitting here. Terrence is in a Friday morning experiencing God class. And you know where I'm going with this, Mike. It was at this NFL when we were over on Indian Trail at the Shoney's. "Hey, Gary, I didn't see you back there." Mike came in one day and he said, "Well, you know, the Lord speaks to you through circumstances, through the Bible, through prayer, and through your church." I said, "Man, that is really good. Where'd you get that?" He said, "It's Henry Blackaby, Experiencing God. I'll bring you my workbook next week." And he brought it to me. And since that time, I was in that Experiencing God class on two different occasions. And every time, I saw what God was doing. And it was something that I would have not imagined unless I'd have been paying attention. And people are in our lives for the very purpose, like Mike McCoy was that particular time, introducing me to Experiencing God. Sean McNeely, an agent with Virtual Properties, got a team, and he wanted to get together on Friday morning. So there were four of us got together. And he said, "Invite somebody to this." And I'm leaving here and I said, "Invite somebody to what? I don't even know what we're doing." So I got home and I called Terrence. I said, "Terrence, you know what? I think that is an opportunity for Experiencing God." And he said, "I don't know about that." I said, "Well, go online and look at it." He went online and saw it, and he said, "Larry, I'm with you." The next Friday, we convinced them that Experiencing God was what we're going to do for an hour. And we broke that thing down and do one day. We don't do a week at a time. We've adapted that to where it works. For there are currently five businessmen that meet there at 9:30 in the Dawsonville Library. They give us the room because we're nonprofit. Terrence got there because he heard me telling the president of the 400 North Realtor Association, Cody Shembar. Terrence heard me explain it to Cody what we're doing. And Terrence says, "Hey, I live in Dawsonville. Could I come to that?" I said, "Absolutely." Unbelievable how that's been, right, Terry?
I was standing in the food line.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was at a luncheon. Now, here's the point I want to make. I brought this Bible not to pound the Bible. But on the front of this Bible, it's the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International. My wife bought me a lifetime membership. You know, it was $500 at that time. I think we paid $50 a year to renew to be part of this. But they gave me the Bible with it engraved on the front there. And that's the New King James Version. And as I think about the people that were so important that I met through Full Gospel, I mean, it changed my life. Hines has already talked about how it changed his life. And the idea that I took Deborah, my wife, to a Braves game, and we watched Biff Pokoroba get an extra base hit in the bottom of the ninth and win the game. We left there and stopped by IHOP and got her a bowl full of whipped cream. She said, "Oh, I'd just love to have a bowl of whipped cream." I said, "Hey, can we get a bowl of whipped cream here?" I had to impress Deborah. You know, then she invited me to something on Saturday morning that her dad was president of the local chapter of the Full Gospel. She said, "It's a Christian group." And I said, "Well, I'm a Christian." We went there, and I heard Paul Yarbrough. He had a dealership, car dealership, in Fort Worth, Texas. And he shared his testimony. He shared a testimony about how there was a guy came by and said, "God sent me here to pray for your business." And he said, "Man, I was going through some tough times." And I said, "Let's pray for it. Go ahead." He prayed over every car. And we later get to know that that was Whistling George. What was his last name, Hines?
Madrigal.
And as he told that, and I'm sitting out there in that audience, and I connect in a way I've never connected with speakers before. Because this was a layman. And I recognized that the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship was something that I belonged there. And I kept coming back. In fact, Paul, a year or so later, came back to Atlanta. And, I mean, he was one of my heroes because he was the first one I heard. Came back to Atlanta. I went to the airport and picked him up. We spent time at my house in Lilburn. We became friends. See, it's a thing like Mike McCoy, first-round draft choice of the Green Bay Packers, All-American at Notre Dame. Who would have thought that we'd be friends? God. God knew what he was doing. The idea that we need to be aware of what God's doing. You know, just like I ended up at Full Gospel, I eventually received the baptism when Demas Shakarian, a dairy farmer, who founded Full Gospel, a worldwide organization. He spoke at the Biltmore Hotel downtown. And I sat there and cried through his sharing because he would talk and then he would get off on another subject and it was like rabbit trails. And I'm thinking, man, God had to be anointing this guy for it to be what it is. Great speaker, but he just wasn't eloquent, but he was used. He surrendered to God. And as I got involved with Full Gospel and became the treasurer of the local chapter, the Atlanta chapter, when Hines went to Linwood and mentioned the luncheon, he said, "Hey, I want you to get with Larry. He lives out there." Hines and I had lunch and decided the following week where we were going to start a Full Gospel luncheon. Now, Full Gospel went through some things where Hines and I talked and we decided we don't need to be Full Gospel. We just need to be the Norcross Fellowship Luncheon. And I called Jimmy Rogers, the international director, and asked him to come have breakfast with me and Hines. And I sat there and told Jimmy what we were going to do is pull away from Full Gospel. And he said, "Well, it'll be the demise of the luncheon." He said that, demise of the luncheon. And I said, "Well, if that happens, then we'll figure out what God wants us to do next." But it flourished. In fact, we have so many things to be thankful. The people, you know, Steve Bartkowski came to speak. Yeah, Truett Cathy's been. I mean, we've got people, Mike McCoy, we've got people that have shared at that luncheon. Yeah, Dan Cathy has been twice, as a matter of fact. We have people that have shared there at that luncheon that lives have been changed in such a wonderful way. Gerald Hickman talked about that being the reason he was saved. And so many people can be touched by you as you recognize God's direction. See, I believe that many that are Christians understand God's direction, but then our focus is taken off that and becomes diverted to something Satan put out there and forget all about what God directed us to. I saw Terrence making notes there a while ago while you were up here, Jeff, and I thought of an evangelist that I was taking over to South Cobb Hospital after he spoke at one of the full gospel meetings, Norval Hayes. Norval said, "Larry, God always drops little nuggets down to you. Always have a pencil or paper where you can write those things down, or the devil will steal them." And boy, that is so right on. And you know what I'm started doing is using the notes on my phone to jot it down. I put the date there. And it may be that the very next day I'll have an opportunity for that thought to be applied in my talk with someone else, or the action that I am supposed to take. See, God really loves us to the point that He is constantly directing us if we will keep Him in the proper place in our priorities. If we keep Him first, He will guide us in a way that we will always be on track. It'll seem sometimes like it's not going the way we want it to. It's because it's going the way God wants it to. We need to understand that we are being equipped. It took Abraham 40 years to wander around as he was being equipped for what was ahead. It took Joseph being thrown in jail. I mean, so many things. As we think about the stories in this Bible of the different things that happened, that's the reason we need to be in here. Because we understand that it's not all mountaintop experiences. We have the peaks and valleys, Jeff, like you're talking about. But it's those peaks that really empower us for the valleys. And we go through those valleys and become stronger. I've got a saying that you don't build a $10,000 foundation under a $1 million building. See, what we're building with our foundation is something that's added to it every day. Be it in our quiet time when we're doing our devotion, or be it in a Zoom meeting that we have at 8 o'clock on Tuesday morning, or the noon NFL, whatever it is, we are adding ingredients to that foundation to make it strong, to make us more capable and better equipped for what's ahead. We don't have to be concerned about what's ahead. We pray and say, "God, make me sensitive to your direction." And then we can move forward with confidence, knowing that we're not going alone. God's with us. And as we face those situations where we can't read a textbook and figure out what to do, God will enable us to understand what to do. And you know, when we do that, we become a witness to others. They say, "Watch us do it." And as we do that, our faith becomes stronger. So that next time, we don't even hesitate. We just step out. We don't even have to wonder what the outcome's going to be, because we know it's going to be good. We know when we're on track with God. We know when we're off track with God. But the good thing about it, he gives us people in our life, in our lives, to be able to remain what God wants us to be. Each one of us have a special purpose in God's plan. All we need to do is determine that I'm not supposed to be doing what Hines is doing. I don't understand this technology and all this stuff, and I don't want to. But by the same token, Hines doesn't know what I'm doing. He doesn't understand the real estate like I do. But at the same time, we both serve in a way that people can see Jesus through what we say and do. And it's something that is desirable. It's not anything that will turn people off. I tell you there, I will be quiet with this one. Recently, my brother passed away. He did not have a good relationship with his son, Lance. And Terrence, I apologize. You know the story. He just could not communicate with Lance. Lance was his son by a first marriage. He had remarried. So is Lance's mother. But Les would say to me, "I just don't understand Lance, Larry." So I talk to him and he just looks off and won't look me in the eye. The Sunday before Les passed away, I went up to their house in Rock Spring. I got out of the car and Lance came out of the house, coming to the sidewalk. We embraced and I said, "Lance, I want to tell you something. One of the greatest regrets that Les has is that he could not connect with you. He could not really communicate." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "You and I always communicate. We look eye to eye and we understand. But what has happened with you and Les is a lack of that communication." And I want to tell you that God is working on this right here. This was God that you and I met each other right here. I said, "Do you believe that?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, God's making a change, Lance. Be sensitive to what's going on. Your wife, Holly, Les, is really excited because she got saved. She goes to church. And he's disappointed that you don't do that." And we embraced again, and he says, "I'll be in touch." On the way home then, on the 15th, is when... Yeah, that was last month, I guess. On the 15th is when we had the memorial service. And Deborah, on the way home, she said, "Larry, you know the way you used to meet with Les and have breakfast once a month at the Shoney's at 20 and 75. That was about halfway point from my house and from Les's house. She said, "You ought to do that with Lance." I said, "Wow, that is a great idea." So I called Lance and said, "Let's do it on Saturday." And he said, "Well, let me call you on Thursday to confirm it." I said, "Okay." Didn't hear from him. Friday night, I'm at my grandson's football game, and I get a text. "I need the address for that restaurant." And I sent the text back to him and said, "Lance, I didn't hear from you on Thursday like you said, so I've got other commitments." So I called him the next day. I said, "I don't understand why you had to wait till Thursday." He said, "Because the Harley is the only transportation I've got. And if it's raining, I couldn't be there." I said, "Okay, let's do it next Saturday." He said, "Okay, I'll call you by Thursday." Never heard from him. That very weekend, the pastor at the church preached on the idea, and this was out of Revelation, where a door that the Lord opens is open, but what he closes is closed. I believe that I got the direction there not to try to make that happen. See, my flesh would want that to happen. But the idea that God was in it, but I couldn't make Lance understand God the way I understood God. I mention that because there will be things like that in our lives that we just know God would have it a different way. But we can't make that happen a different way. What we can do is let our light shine. And I'll say this and then I'm going to sit down. One of the things I learned with full gospel early on was a scripture, Matthew 5, verse 14 through 16. It says, "You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." That's what we need to be about. We need to be more outgoing with our faith and our belief to where it can have a positive impact, positive influence on others. And as we do that, it will be very much like this meeting, the Wednesday meeting, the Tuesday meeting, all these meetings. We need more and more of those things. And as we're involved in more and more of them, we become more and more like God wants us to be. And as we have the faith and the empowerment to dominate the world, we can do that very thing. There's so many lost people. Jesus said from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." A lot of people don't know. They just don't know. And it's up to us to spread the word and tell them about it.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Larry. Thank you. That was awesome. And Larry's done an awesome job like that for 37 years, and it's just been a real blessing. What time is it now?
7:45.
Okay, so we've got time for a couple more testimonies, and I would say that one of the things that happens in an environment like this is something that means absolutely nothing to one person is a stunning revelation to someone else. And so as you feel God has spoken to you through what Jeff or Larry or I have said, write it down and pray about it. So now we're going to have Larry. How about them? What's? Okeson. Come on. Speaking to the mic. Come on. Welcome, Larry.
I was going to talk about my stroke a year ago and how I was 100% healed. But both Jeff and Larry mentioned about reaching out, helping others, and God can use you wherever you are. 3 years ago, I moved into a high-rise senior apartment building. There's 150 apartments. I have one little tiny one. But we got a real fancy dining room, first class, white tablecloths, two forks. And everybody gets three free meals a day. And I noticed that the people that were moving in, only half of them were coming to the dining room. I thought, where's the rest of the people? They were ordering their food and eating in their rooms. And so I started writing down their names, their telephone number, their room number, and I'd call them up and I'd say, "Hey, Julian, would you be interested in having dinner with me tonight?" He said, "Yeah, I would." He hadn't eaten once in the dining room for 2 years. And since then, he's eaten dinner with me about a dozen times. But I got to call him and invite him. I got a list of probably 25 to 30 people. And here are their names, their telephone numbers, when they were born, if they have brothers or sisters, where they went to high school. And I have a table of four that I kind of call my table. And so I invite people. The couple I'm working with now are a Korean couple. And I introduce everybody that comes by the table. This is George, and Sue from South Korea. And then on the other side here, I got Susan, who wasn't coming. And she's in a wheelchair now. She goes into kidney dialysis 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And she's kind of shriveled up and small lady. And she was sitting all alone by herself when she comes to the dining room. And now I sit with her every night and invite other people to come and join us. So God can use us wherever we are.
Larry, that reminds me of another story that you shared several years ago about you went into a Wendy's to go ahead and eat. And just a little story that you told at NFL, I don't know, 5 years ago. You went to a Wendy's to go and eat, and the dining room was empty except for one guy sitting at a table. And you went and you asked, do you mind if I sit here? And most people wouldn't do that. But, you know, that impacted me. That really made a difference. You mentioned Cody Chambars. Man, and Christiana is his wife. What a great family. And I can't give up the mic again until I say that I really, really wish that Stacy and LD were here because they have been a huge part of this, and I love those guys, and I just want them to know they were missed. It's open mic. Thank you for sharing.
Stacy is feeling under the weather. That's why he can't come.
Yeah, I know. And I believe LD had a doctor's appointment, although eye appointment, yeah. Well, we miss them, so hopefully they'll get a chance to listen to this. It is open mic. We have a little more time. We'd love to hear from you guys. 2, 3, 4 minutes. Anybody want to come up and share? I'm sure they will.
And I can tell some jokes.
The backup plan is for Heinz to tell jokes, so please, somebody. Okay. Come on, Michael.
Come on.
Thank you, Mike.
You must have heard some of my jokes before.
That's why I'm here.
Good evening. Mike McCoy. It's great to be with you again this evening. And Nan and Heinz, good seeing you. And Larry and Larry Okerson and Nan. And Nan, I just, you know, Nan is actually an epitome of unconditional love. So we thank you for putting up with this guy for all these years. 58 years. Wow. It's incredible. You all know the story real quick. Moved here in 1989. I was with a ministry at the time, and I lived in Erie, Pennsylvania. And I was looking for fellowship, and I saw a little ad. I think it was in Lawrenceville. I don't know where it was, but I saw it at the NFL lunch. And I said, what the heck, I'll go. And I thought it was the National Football League, but it was the Norcross Fellowship. And I've been stuck ever since. I grew up in Erie, Pennsylvania. I'm going to kind of stick to the script here because no one else has. And I grew up in Erie, Pennsylvania, and went off to the University of Notre Dame. And, you know, I was a religious guy all my life. And I actually went to the seminary my freshman year in high school, left home. I was studying to be a priest. And I thought that's what God called me to, at least when Father Tellers came in when we were in seventh grade. He says, all you guys have a vocation to become priests. I said, okay. And I was the only one who believed him. And so I went up there. It didn't work out. Went to Cathedral Prep High School, St. All Boys Catholic School in Erie, 1,200 of us, coat and tie, athletic excellence, academic excellence. And that's where I had my first mentor. It was Tony Zambrowski. We grew up with my grandparents. We lost our home when I was about third grade. My dad was an alcoholic and made some bad choices in life. But my grandparents, John and Alice Spadaga, let us come in, and we lived with them. And my grandfather came over from Poland in 1918 to escape the Russian army coming in, taking all the young Poles. So think about that, way back in 1918. And his mother, my great-grandmother, put my grandfather and his oldest brother on a ship to come to America through Canada. And Holy Trinity Catholic Church was a Polish church in the east side of Erie, Pennsylvania, and they sponsored them. And that's how he got to America, and that's why I'm here. So I was going to church all the time, but basically my faith was one out of duty and obligation, fear and superstition, because as athletes we are very superstitious. And if I'd have a good game, I wouldn't change my socks until I had a bad game, and which wasn't very often, right? No, I'm just kidding. I had a lot of bad games. You know, I only have a 4-minute highlight film. You know, you'd think about that. And so, you know, I was always going to church, and it just kind of fallen away a little bit. On the outside, I looked religious. On the inside, I was empty. And went off to University of Notre Dame, and, you know, went to church there, and, you know, want to have a good game, and And one of the guys that were on the team from at that time, some were Protestants, you know, those protesters. And they're feeling the same way about their religion. And I said, that's pretty interesting. And I got married and went up to Green Bay Packers and a lot of pressure. And the only other guy drafted ahead of me is this bald-headed guy on TV now. It's not you, Phil. It's Terry Bradshaw. And Terry was Pittsburgh and I went to Green Bay. And that's where I met another man named Carroll Dale, who was a wide receiver for the Packers. And another guy who really influenced me indirectly was Bart Starr. Not verbally as far as sharing his faith, but just his lifestyle and what he did and what he committed to. But Carroll Dale was the real influence for me. And he really didn't sit down and share his faith. He just got me, said, hey, why don't you come to chapel? Now, am I over my 4 minutes yet? Okay. When I went up there, and I said, you know, Carroll, what is chapel? He said, well, it's a service we have every Sunday for players who want to go to church can't go because at 1 o'clock you've got to go out and maim and hurt people. And so we it's true. Yeah. I'm sorry, it's true. Because we didn't have any rules and regulations back then, believe me. Those poor quarterbacks, I always felt sorry for them. Except Joe Namath. I didn't hit him as hard as I wanted to, but you know, I felt bad for Joe. And he was towards the end of his career, and he couldn't move at all. And so I said, you know, which chapel? And it's a program on Sunday morning at our hotel or wherever we're at, and it's usually a business person or a former player. And I said, okay, let's see, you know, because we went to church on Saturday, because every team traveled with a priest, and I think they still do from their local communities. And then we had NFL chapel. So I figured, why not? You know, I got to play against Walter Payton and the Bears tomorrow, and he'll help me get. So I went to chapel, and basically, long story short, through that chapel service, I might have heard this growing up, but through that chapel service, I heard that this whole thing about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I said, and how these men wanted to change, and they tried to change, but they couldn't do it because change happens from the inside. Only God can change a person from the inside. And I listened to that simple message, and then Carol says, hey, how would you like to go to a Fellowship of Christian Athletes camp? I said, what's that, FCA? He explained it to me, and he said, it's going to be in Marshall, North Carolina, June of 1971. So my wife and I, my late wife, Kia, and I went down there, and I had this little group of huddle guys, and they gave me a booklet, and I was actually a night ahead of what we're going to talk about the next day, because I said, what are they talking about here? And so one guy came up to me. His name was Bill Kreischer. I don't know if you ever heard of him. He was an All-American out of Oklahoma. And we're talking probably back in the 50s, early 60s. And he went on staff with FCA. He'd been there for many years. He's passed away a couple years ago. And Bill came up to me, and he says, hey, Mike, you know, we want to speak on Wednesday night. I said, you know, what do you want me to talk about? He said, talk about what it means to be a Christian pro athlete. I said, oh, okay. You know, he walked away from there, and the Holy Spirit just hit me between the eyes and says, you're not a Christian. You're not a real follower of Jesus. And so I finally understood about praying, that personal prayer that we all know about. And so it was at that little college in Marsh Hill, North Carolina, that I prayed to receive Jesus. And so that night, you know, Wednesday night, I got up there, and that's the only thing I could tell. There's like 500 of these kids. And my wife was kind of sitting there, and my late wife, and I think she was kind of like, what is going on here? You know, she has two uncles who are Catholic. And so we started that journey. And a year later, at a Pro Athletes Outreach Conference in Dallas, Texas. And PAO has been around for 55 years now. You've probably never heard of them because they don't go out and do publicity. But it's PAO.org if you want to go online and read a bunch of testimonies from professional athletes. It's a conference ministry that was started by Paul Eshelman and his dad from Campus Crusade for Christ and Athletes in Action. And they knew that it had to be pro-to-pro. So I was on the original committee back in 73 to form PAO. And that's been pretty exciting to be part of that organization during that period of time and see. And we'd have all the speakers come in, like Larry Burkett and Henry Cloud and all these type of people. And it was really very, it was an incredible time. And it's still going on for 55 years. So we started that journey. And, you know, like Larry said, stuff happens in life. You know, I lost my wife 13 years ago. Kia had a cancer. And there was guys in this room that came and prayed with us in our master bedroom where we lived in Lawrenceville. Not Lawrenceville. Where do I live now? Jefferson, Georgia. I've been in 20 different cities my life, you know, moving around. And so there's a lot of fellowship here and getting to know a lot of the people and being part of this has been very, very helpful for me. So I do appreciate all the effort that you go in because you don't know, you know, Larry and Larry Schrader and Larry Okeson, how many lives you've changed too. You know, this guy's going to be 90 years old. Do you believe that? Wow. Wow, it's incredible. And he has a girlfriend, too. I'm jealous. And I'm glad you're still hanging in there, Larry. And 11 years. Yeah, same lady. That's incredible. Yeah. And and then, of course, Heinz and Nan. And you don't know how many people's lives you changed. I don't think we'll know that until we get on the other side. And we'll go in there, and they'll be there because of what you guys have started and what everybody here is involved with. And we all have different tasks that God has given us. One of my favorite verses is, whoops, oh, man, see.
Yeah,
Heinz gives his cards away about when he was being an alcoholic, and I give my cards away when I was being an NFL player. So it's a little different story. Well, a couple of my favorite verses in Romans. We talk about the mind, and Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed." How? By the renewing of your mind, so you know what the will of Christ Jesus is for you. It's the renewing of our mind. Because the evil one's out there, man. I tell you, we're in a spiritual battle in this country, in this world, we've never seen before. And it's not about people and things. It's spiritual. That's what we're battling against. And so we got to continue to renew our mind, which is fellowshipping like this and having prayer and Phil and what you do and you know, getting into God's Word and keeping close together, because it is a battle. And another favorite verse of mine is Galatians 2:20. You know, I have been crucified on the cross with Christ. See, we've been crucified on that cross with Christ. Think about that. You and I, even though we weren't here over 2,100 years ago, were crucified on that cross with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the faith, I live in the faith in the Son of God who loved me and saved me. That's a tremendous verse, because all we are, we're ambassadors. And so God is living his life through us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's not about Heinz. It's not about Larry. You know, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus working through us. So I do have some football cards. I know some of you have already gotten those. Good to see these young people here, you know. Yeah. It's really nice, you know, that there are young people around that we can hang with sometimes. And, you know, I'm glad to be anywhere now at my age. But I'm 77, so I feel pretty good with some of these guys that are here. So we have some football. Where'd you put your cards? Okay, we're going to put them with Larry. So if you want to grab some, that'd be great. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Praise the Lord.
What a blessing to have heard testimonies. And, you know, what everybody shared tonight is not something that they rehearsed and made up. It's inside of us. And those of us who have been religiously lost, who've gone to church, I went to church for 33 years, was lost as a goose in high weeds. Anybody ever seen a goose in high weeds? It sounds lost. But since Jesus changed me, everything is different. And you know, sometimes it doesn't happen till the last minute. Somebody was sharing with me about the importance of doing a lot of things, and that's good. But the thief on the cross just said, "Lord, remember me when you get into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "This day you'll be with me in paradise." He didn't say the sinner's prayer. He didn't help any old ladies across the street. He didn't give 10% of his money. He just asked Jesus to take him. And I think that's what I think sometimes is a barrier when we have a good religious background, to understand how much Jesus loves us and how simple it is to just yield to him and accept him as Lord and Savior. I think, Jeff, anything else you'd like to share before we go? It starts with accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. And as I said before, I went to church 33 years and was lost. And because I didn't accept Jesus as Lord and Savior until my friend Clarence, who wouldn't let me go, invited me to a Bible study, and I had a transforming experience, encounter with Jesus, and accepted him as my Lord and Savior. And we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The infilling of the Holy Spirit is a powerful tool that sometimes doesn't get the mention that it should, that there's power in releasing yourself to the Holy Spirit and letting him do a work in you. It's funny that on Pentecost, this amazing day of the Holy Spirit, all the disciples talked in an unknown language to each other. They were like, it was like kindergarten class or something. And yet there's power in the Holy Spirit, and his he wants us to allow him to work in us. The Lord spoke to my heart one time and said, "You got the keys to the car. You know, if you want what I have, it's up to you to ask for it." And so we believe that that's a powerful thing to do if you haven't either accepted Jesus or invited the Holy Spirit. And then I believe God answers prayers. And so if you have a specific prayer, Jeff and I and Larry and anybody else will be here for a few minutes. So just let us know how we can be pray for you. Anything else before I close? Jeff, you want to finish?
No, I want you to just mention that we are all representing Jesus here.
Right.
Yeah.
Good tip, right. Right. And one thing we always say about the luncheon, we're denominationally inclusive and politically neutral, and that doesn't mean you shouldn't be proud of where you are in any of that, but we try to keep an environment where we love each other into the kingdom, and you, it's fine for you to be wherever you are in your faith journey, whatever denomination you belong to, whatever, you know, that's not going to hinder anything that we share in this meeting. So let me close with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this amazing time. Thank you, Lord, for Jeff and Larry and all the many people, Larry Okeson, and the list goes on and on. Just Alan, our vice president of prayer, and just thank you for the many, many people that have witnessed to you through this luncheon. And, Lord, even one guy that shared came back to me and he said, I'd like to share again. I wasn't saved when I shared the first time. So sometimes just being invited to share what Jesus does helps us to see where we are with him. So, Lord, I pray your blessing, your anointing, your healing, your restoration. Lord, as Larry and Jeff and Mike have shared, there might have been something that touched somebody's heart here with a very similar relationship or something that needs to be corrected. So in the name of Jesus, I pray that this night would be a night of renewal and restoration. And I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yay.